Welcome to Dominate for Two, a War Machine and Hordes podcast.
I'm Alex.
I'm Mark.
And I'm Benjamin.
And today we're going to be talking about my run at the Crucible in Florida, which happened the weekend before this is coming out.
You, the audience, will join Ben and I in listening to Mark talk about a tournament.
It is going to be amazing and rad because I've heard that other than it being in Florida, the Crucible is really cool.
It's a pretty all right con. I would compare it to like Kingdom Con, but Kingdom Con's better.
It's not in Florida.
So you're just coming right out of the gate, slamming your host like California does it better.
Well, I mean, that's true about everything.
Okay, nobody does it as well as Tyson and Will.
Ah, Will's the best.
When you say it like that.
And also, I'm going to get into this, but they have a couple of weird things with how their qualifying system works that irk me. Maybe it's just minor quibbles. Maybe it's like a real structural issue, but that's great. We'll just get into it now at the top of the episode. So there were, I think, like somewhere between 40 and 45 unique players. And so they decided that they were going to cut to a top 16. And instead of playing like, so they had two heats of, I think, 20 and 21 or something like that, somewhere around that range, right? And so instead of playing like three rounds until you have like some number of undefeated people and a couple of X1s that make it in for an eight cut on each, they made each heat play five rounds to find the one undefeated player. All X and ones made it in, and a few X and twos made it in.
What?
And then this compounds into the day two.
We got the con hall. We got to use it for something.
Well.
Did they have a flow chart to figure out like how the qualifying worked?
Here's how it gets extra screwy. Because you get to the top 16 at the day two, right? And by the time the finals ran, or the finals happened, the judge just left. He did this last year, too. He just left and he like pointed at one of the players. He's like, "You're the judge now." And he just walked out.
"Look at me. You're the judge now."
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And so, like, they could have either done, like, three rounds to a top 8 cut, or top 16 cut next day, whatever. Or they could have done two heats where each heat gives four players, they do a top 8, they only do three rounds, and the judge doesn't have to leave. Like, but they have somehow, like, come up with, like, the wackiest system ever that just ends up being overwrought. And that is like my number one criticism.
Would you say it's the rare Pepe of conventions?
Yes, it is. So
I don't get it. I don't know what that means.
Cycling away from the game. So after bashing the con structure, I love the Floridians. I love hanging out with them. Brandon, Nick, they're all great dudes. So we went out to dinner after the first night, and so Nick Herding, he's a very special man, but we were like reading our menus and shit, and then just like out of nowhere he's just like, "Hobbit armies are the rare Pepe of Kings of War armies," and like the entire table just like grinds to a halt, and everyone's like, "What the fuck did you just say?" And the entire evening turned into memeing about rare Pepes.
Okay, this explains Mayhew's anomalous comment on our page. Like, I wasn't sure whether to be hurt or excited or what.
Yeah, I still doesn't make any sense to me.
You had to be there. I'm sorry. It was the rare Pepe of in-person experiences. Yes, it's going into my lexicon for all eternity.
Okay, so you packed your bags, threw together your stuff, and jumped on a plane to Florida after failing to jump onto a plane to Florida, and then...
Oh, yeah, let's dial back even further. So, as some of the listeners may or may not know, I got laid off a few weeks ago, which is unfortunate, but so I tried to cancel all the trips I set up, which was like well, I can't cancel I-5 because it's a team tournament. I can't cancel War Machine Weekend because that's canceling War Machine Weekend. And so I tried to cancel Crucible just to see if I could get my, I think it was like a $450 flight back. And they didn't want to do that. So I was like, okay, fine. Then they delayed my flight by an hour. And I called them and I was like, I'm just going to cancel. I don't even care if I get a refund. And they're like, oh, we'll just put you on a flight that like fixes everything. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to Crucible anyways. And so
your flight stopped global warming, cured hunger and homelessness.
Yeah. And I'm just going to apologize right now because I'm rambling really bad right now. And I can tell that, but we're just gonna go with it. This is just a full stream of consciousness, Mark episode.
Oh my God, you've been warned, our few remaining listeners. You've been warned.
So I get into the hotel about 11:30 at night. I can't fall asleep until like late, like 2 or 3 in the morning, which is painful because I'm on Pacific time and Florida's on East Coast time. Of course. And I wake up at 8 and get breakfast and I roll into the hall and I'm just like, I'm dying. I'm already dying from the start. And I'm like, this is a mistake. I should have flown in Thursday night and spent all Friday recuperating. But I didn't. And so I get put into one of these wonderful heats where it's going to be 4 or 5 rounds because they want to go until one undefeated player. I've got my Madrak list I've talked about on the show multiple times. It hasn't changed since, I think, Kingdom Con, maybe before then. But and then the Kolgrimus Storm in the North list is the same thing I ran at Phoenix, except I swapped out the Icicle Checker for the Shield Guard Troll Lancer, just because I was worried about Ron a little bit. Like, I feel like Ron's almost literally unplayable once Kolgrimus has access to Earth's Blessing and Owl's Wisdom. And I figured Rhett was going to be on the rise. I know of a couple of good Rhett players in the Florida area. So want to be prepared for that. But yeah, so I get in. First round, I'm sorry, I'm going to forget a couple of these names. I get paired against a Rhett player on the pit 2. He's got Gorshade 4 and Vyros 2. And so I'm expecting him to play Vyros 2 because from Gorshade is basically unplayable into trolls because they've got tons of RFP. Pretty much everything heavy and larger has snacking. So they'll just eat all of your infantry with that, whether they're in Power Dunia or any of the themes. If they're playing Beta Heroes, they have Takedown, and they're going to RFP all your stuff. Or if they're in Storm of the North, like both of my lists are, I've got entire armies of Cold Immune models. Like, that's not going to work. I think my opponent didn't quite... I think he thought Kolgrimus' feat prevented charges, in addition to the push. So he dropped Gorshade and I put down Madrak, and it was pretty bad. He wins the roll off and goes first, and he advances kind of cautiously. My Raiders go up and kind of stay out of his stuff. He takes some pot shots with Invictors. This seems to be, from what I can tell, a standard Gorshade list if they're going to play Dawnguard. It is basically double max Sentinels, max Invictors, and then like support around that. It seems like a pretty solid shell. But we kind of just dance around on turn one, and then bottom of two, I score out 2. I almost score 3, but a champion has to charge something and then overtake over an offhand hit a Sentinel. I forget if they're under both their mini feet and Dauntless Resolve, or just Dauntless Resolve, but I hit exact armor damage, and so it doesn't die, and I don't score the middle zone. But 2's still pretty good. My feet's up, he can't charge me, and I've still got most of my forces. And then he kind of tries to like contest me, but he isn't really able to get super deep in because I've jammed really hard with my Raiders. And so it gets to a point where I have to kill like 5 models in different places across the board and his objective, and I just score 3, and I just do that on that would have been bottom of 3. Yeah, it was a pretty unfortunate misunderstanding. He definitely should have played Varus. It would have been a closer game. But yeah.
What do you think the misunderstanding was there?
Well, I think he thought that Colgrim's feet prevented charges. And so I think he figured I was going to drop Colgrima. And he's like, oh, the spray doesn't. Yeah, that's my assumption. Mm-hmm. There might also have been a play with Gorshade where he could have abused clouds a little bit more. I played Gorshade again later in this tournament, so I'll talk a little bit about that in that game. But a lot of his tools just don't really work all that hot. Like his death debuff nuke works, and like his revive trick works, but outside of that, like his half of his feet doesn't work. His feet is basically. It's basically a defensive version of Terminus's feet, which is not that hot. Yeah. But if you aren't stationary your opponent's models when they're coming in on you, I'm not so wowed by his stuff.
Right. It's no longer a feat at that point. It's merely like a slightly above par spell.
Or like a passive ability on virtually every soul collecting warcaster in the game.
Savitrue.
Like, congratulations, you now have become Zol 2 on every turn.
Yeah, but for the now living elf, I guess that's a big deal. Now it's
well, if you can collect enough souls, you can bring a large number of them back. You can go for a spell assassination. You have easy access to arc nodes. Like, there's things you can do with that stuff. It's just without the pseudo Borka. 2 feet, half of it. It's just not that good. But so then round 2, I get paired into Troy. He's got Protectorate. It's on standoff. He's got Testament and Harbinger, I believe. I only remember Testament because that's what he dropped. I can't remember the other list off the top of my head. But both were in Exemplar Interdiction, and so I didn't want to play Kreos into that. So I put down Colgrima because I was like, your warcaster is going to be assassinatable either way. And I'm not trying to abuse even ground when you have Blessed. And so he puts down Testament. and he wins the roll off. And then I actually felt pretty good about this game in the attrition sense. Because he, I don't want to say screwed up, but I don't think he properly and so I was able to kill all but one of his Vengers and 2 of his Knights Exemplar UAs, or one of them, and then I left one on one box with the lookouts and one set of bears. But I screwed up in a few ways where my Raiders blocked in my champs so that the champs couldn't get into a good position. I didn't put enough stuff in a circle zone so that it was way too easy for him to clear it. And I ended up charging some bears and some weird my second set of bears for one of them to charge his last Venger over a wall. And I needed to run the other bear to get gang bonus onto it. And I decided to charge the bear into some Ashen Veiled Errants instead. And it did nothing. And it meant that I had left models in that zone. I didn't kill the last Venger, and so I was just having a lot of problems with scenario attrition. And he just cleans up that whole side. He goes up 2-0, I think, and then I decide I have to pull the trigger on assassination. And there's a lot of moving parts where the Raiders need to go, and the Rune Bear needs to go, and then Colgrima needs to charge this guy, but then he self sacks that guy, so I need to do a walk vanish now and. Clear path for the bomber, and I end up leaving him on one box, and then he just scores out. Yeah, it was. I think it might have been slightly less than 50-50, but I think if I had played that entirely correctly with how he didn't really respect the ambushing, Like, he could have played more tightly towards the center, I think, and he could have gotten a much better attrition game on me. Mm-hmm. But he gave me an opening to, like, try and win the attrition game, and then I screw it up and throw scenario at the same time, and so I have to pull a bad assassination on my ass. And, yeah, that's in general a theme of this weekend, is I feel like a lot of people weren't respecting ambush. Because, like, in both lists, I'm ambushing at least one set of bears. And in the other list, I have pig lookouts, which will just come in from the side. They threaten 19 from the board edge for shooting. And they'll just, like, they'll kill your support. They'll kill, like, backline models that you don't want to die. Because they're POW 11s. And if they're in back arc, they're functionally rat 6. Mm-hmm. Like, they'll just kill random solos and stuff. And it's... people just kept on getting punished by that over and over and over again. But yeah, Troy played it better. He put me under the gun. I tried to pull the trigger on him and I just fell short. And yeah, I could have optimized the assassination better, I think. I didn't really take into account his self-sack. I think I could have charged in Kolgrima first. And just, like, not cared about the Ashen Veil minus to hit, because, like, the difference between needing to hit a 7 and needing to hit a 9 when you're critting on a 4 dice drop lowest isn't that big. so I could have just, like, forced the stationary and then killed that guy later anyways. And I think that would have freed up other activations to do other things, to maybe get some more shots on the Testament. Or spend less fury, because then I wouldn't need to vanish. And I, again, left him on one box. But, yeah, he put a lot of really good pressure onto me, even though he gave me an opening with the ambush, and he was able to get it in the end pretty easily.
Cool. I mean, not cool for you, but cool for him.
Yeah. But, yeah, again, I wasn't too worried because of, like, how the bracket system we described earlier worked. I could go 3-2 or 2-2, depending on if pair downs didn't win, and still make it to day 2. So I just needed to not lose again, and I was basically guaranteed in. But so round 3, my opponent had Scar 3, Slaughter Fleet, and Gatsby 3. As Slaughter Fleet list, I think, was pretty standard, but his Gatsby 3 list traded in 4 Slayers for Double Inflictor and Malice. With the intent of trying to get the Soul Train off. I win the roll off, and this is just awful for him. He puts a Slayer in ambush range that I kill on top of 2. I think he gives me 3 Slayers in total on top of 2. And he, wow. Like, he takes a while trying to get the Malice Soul Train up, because his entire game plan is to try and get Malice up to, what, arm 24 against melee, and just, like, have it never die.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't work. And then I spike a bit with my champs, and I cripple Malice really bad. He heals him back up, and then I charge some more champs in the next turn, and I kill it off. And I think he was pretty tilted about the fact that I rolled above average there,
because
mm-hmm. It definitely was unhelpful to his game plan. But I was already running the table. Yeah. The champs, because it's POW 14 Weapon Master, even when he's on max souls, and he never was, I think he only ever got to, like, 3 souls at any given time, maybe 4. But so I was rolling, like, dice off 8, dice off 9, dice off 10, and I was just reliably getting some decent numbers.
Yeah, I mean, charging champs are terrible.
Yeah, because they average 28 on POW plus strength plus dice.
Yeah.
So, like, even on max souls Malice, they should have been doing, what, 4 damage, a charge attack? But so then it's just kind of, I think he eventually kills the Glacier King, because I think I sent it in when I didn't need to, and I realized too late I didn't have enough jackhammers if I wanted to cast Even Ground. And so instead of, like, killing a jack and crippling another, I just crippled one. And so he was able to eventually kill it, but I just kind of, like, walked into him and just kept on killing his stuff, and then eventually bears just charge Gatsby 3 and I just kill him. But yeah, in general, I think 9 Slayers has a terrible time if Madrak goes first.
Yeah, it sounds like a bad time,
because if the bears come in on top of 2 and then I feed on top of two, and I get a kill, two, maybe three slayers, depending on how you position, probably. And you're not really able to charge into me. You have to, like, do walks and stuff like that. It's just not great. And then it's just a bunch of tough, steady models that it's hard to get efficient attacks on. Round four, I got put into Scorn on Invasion. He had two basically identical lists, an Exalted theme with Zol 1 and Zol 2, respectively. Basically, three units of Immortals, Supreme Guardian, two AGs, Hakkar, and, like, whatever, for the battle group. And I wasn't sure which one he was going to pick. I figured Zol 1 was the more likely candidate, but he ended up dropping Zol 2, which I think actually had a pretty good game here. And I intimidate him, and I win the roll-off. He feels sufficiently intimidated that he feats on bottom of one, just to, like, get into position, because otherwise I could very probably kill his Supreme Guardian on top of two, unless he places it really conservatively, which he didn't want to. Mm-hmm. And he puts an Agonizer behind it, and it's like functionally armed 20. And so originally I had a plan where I feat, and I just, like, I keep my Glacier King outside of the, I think it's 8 inches walk chop threat of his Supreme Guardian if it can't charge.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point I just, like, entirely lost it, and I was just like, ah, screw it, I'm just gonna trample onto you. I think it was a run. Yeah, run onto you, and I'm gonna jackhammer you down. Which did not work out very well. I think I like half killed it, because, like, Madrak ricocheted into the Agonizer, and, like, he rolled the, I think he did Agonizer.
Did he start Arcane Vortexing your jackhammers?
He only had one soul to start, and I baited him into eating the Hunter's Mark, so he didn't have any souls, because he only starts with one.
Okay.
Because otherwise the Glacier King could have charged it directly, I believe. If I did speed.
I wasn't there, you tell me.
So I'm gonna, I guess we can get into this now. I'm like 90% certain that in the middle of our game I literally blacked out. Like, I swear to God, I lost like 30 seconds of time in the middle of our game. Not like, oh, I wasn't paying attention, and, like, wow, things just, like, moved. It was like, one moment I'm looking at this thing, the other moment something entirely different is going on that has no continuity with what was going on previous, which I attribute to jet lag and no sleep.
So none of us were there. Yeah, it's funny. You keep saying that you really don't take travel well. And at first I was just like, oh, yeah, whatever. Everyone gets jet lag, you know, like Mark's belly aching a little bit about, you know, what it does to his sleep cycle and all this. But, like, blacking out during a game, you really don't travel well.
Yeah, I'm a home buddy. I don't know why I got into traveling to cons.
Because it's fun.
But get a couple of champs in follow-up onto the Supreme Guardian. I think I leave it on like 10 boxes through his feet. I was like, oh, he doesn't really have any souls. Like, what's he going to do? And then I discovered that you can catch your own models in the Supreme Guardian's Thresher to fuel it to full with souls. And he comes this close to killing the Glacier King. But thankfully falls short, because I jammed the hell out of it with my Raiders, just so that he physically couldn't walk stuff onto it. And so, like, the King lives with, like, I don't know, like 15 boxes or something. And then I just kind of walk him down. He tried seeing if he could find a spell assassination, because I gave him like 12 souls or something. But I didn't realize this. Mage Sight doesn't let you ignore intervening models. So Madrak just happened to be, like, in the perfect spot where Zol couldn't... he was behind a wall, so he couldn't charge anything to get on me. And so he had no place where he could walk, where he could see me around the Glacier King. And so we just called it there.
Gotcha.
The bears were also worthless this game. The bears charged in on a feated AG and like couldn't kill it. Like two bears, which is like bonkers to me. Because like the AG only goes up to what? Like arm 22? Sound about right? But like average dice, I think, overkills it by a few boxes. And I think I did like four. And so there were just a bunch of bears dirtling in his back line for the whole game because they were not doing their job. It was amusing to watch. But yeah, that was basically round four in a nutshell. And at this point, I'm 3-1, and I'm fairly certain that irregardless of how round five goes, I'm in. Which is nice because I'm blacking out in my games, apparently.
You know, it just hit me what their weird five-round thing was might be all about. Like, it just came to me when I was sitting here thinking. So, Crucible is a Florida invitational circuit, right? Their intention may have been basically hold two qualifier tournaments followed by the invitational, which would make it make more sense, but...
Mayhaps. Not entirely certain.
I don't want you bringing that kind of logic into this conversation.
Intellectual rigor. Get the f*** out. And I mean, might be totally wrong.
Intellectual rigor. Yeah.
Yeah, there is.
That's what we are here rigorous. On the Rare Pepe and podcasts
happening here. I mean, sometimes there's some rigor when we look at this Bowsette stuff, but that's different.
That's a Jesus different kind Christ. Of rigor.
Rigor mortis.
Hold on, I'm going to send you some rigor in a minute.
Oh, good. Yeah, baby.
Good. But so, round five, I get put into Crix. So this is Will Yanny. I played him last time I was at Crucible when he was... I played Gunny into his coven. And the last time, he won the roll-off, and he gave me first, and I told him he shouldn't do it. And then this happened again. So I put down Madrek because I think he had Gorshade 3 and Slayer Spam. He puts down Gorshade 3, which in my opinion was a huge mistake. His feat literally only works on Madrek. So again, he's playing without a feat. And he's got like this weird like single or like double cav Bane list with it.
So to be fair, I've considered like taking Sorsha 1 as a Madrek out for Kador. And her feat doesn't work on most of your army. But the intention is to kill you in your face on, you know, a big setup. The difference is Sorsha's feat is offensive. It's not a weird defensive utility thing. So, like, that seems an even worse choice than his first drop.
Well, so from how he played, he seemed to want to play a really slow game where he just keeps on mockery of lifing back Bane Riders. And so he's playing really conservatively, like ultra far back on Mirage. And just bears come in from the side. I kill a bunch of stuff. And I'm holding my flag and my zone. And he's only able to contest one. So I'm on 1 point. And so at this point, I realize I can hold, I can clear out my zone, hold two of the flags, and kill his objective and just win. And so I do that because he was like playing with his cav like 10 inches behind the line of scrimmage, like so that like I couldn't wipe out the units. But then I just won on scenario because like 40 points of his army basically wasn't interacting with the center of the table. Yeah, that was a weird game. Love you, Will. But that was I think like the playing super back and the giving me first like just compounded into that being like an unwinnable game on the board for him. But so that gets me 3-1. I believe I end up being third in my heat,
4-1,
second or third, I can't remember. Yeah, because they just do SOS for that, and then we go out to Outback Steakhouse where the discovery of Rare Pepes happens. Yeah, I haven't been to Outback Steakhouse in a very long time, and I was surprised at how decent it was for the cost. But I enjoyed myself immensely. There was a wonderful like mango strawberry lemonade thing.
Did you eat a 2,000
all in it?
Did you eat a 2,000 calorie fried onion?
We got one of those. It was pretty decent. What else did we get? Like fries with like bacon and cheese on them and shit. Like it was just like decadence all the way through. Excuse me. Still suffering from the conflu I got at the Crucible.
I love.
Are you sure it wasn't airport flu?
Yeah, I love how Mark gets hit on the way to the event and then gets destroyed by the same process on the return.
I don't travel well. Like, I look forward to the day where I retire from competitive War Machine entirely and just don't leave the house.
Oh my god. I want to see what happens to you after getting back from a WTC. Like, you're going to be shipped back in like one of those pine shipping crates like dead soldiers.
Oh my god. So I went to Ireland when I was in college because my parents wanted to go. Beautiful place. Spent like a week and a half there. I can't remember how long exactly. But my entire family is just like legendarily motion sick, or at least my mom's side of the family. And guess what she forgot to have in her carry-on for the flight back?
Anything for not vomiting on a plane?
Yeah, what's the name of the motion sickness medicine again? Dramamine?
Sounds right.
Like that, but like stronger, like prescription level shit. And she just like didn't bring in her carry-on. And so I think like both of us like threw up multiple times on the flight back to the States. There was also the time where we went to Hawaii and she insisted that we take I guess we were technically on Kauai for this part of the journey. She insisted we take a boat like cruise ride around the entirety of the island of Kauai. And it was like a 4 or 5 hour ordeal, and they feed us fish and rice, and oh, I was dying. And she's more motion sick than I am, and she like insisted we do this instead of just like hanging out at the resort we paid for.
Wow.
Like I said, I'm gonna be doing a lot of meandering. I blame the convo.
Are you Elon Musking this episode too?
Are you celebrating Canada Freedom Day?
No, I think I left my marijuana in my car. I should get it out of there before I get pulled over. yes. I don't know if that's going to get me in trouble.
Yeah, I don't even know what the laws are anymore now that it's technically legal.
Yeah, but no, I'm stone cold sober. No, I had a couple shots of Captain Morgan a little while ago, but. We're not going to talk about that.
You're like, I'm cold stone. No.
I'm cold stone creamery right now.
I started drinking as soon as I got back from work. And let me tell you, the SoCal War Machine chat is feeling the wrath of my drink.
Oh, you should add me to that. I want to shit post with the SoCal people. I just want to give In-Young crap.
In-Young's on there. And two, you have no place there. It's actual constructive War Machine talk.
That's a liar.
I do tons of constructive War Machine talk, but
again, liar.
No, yeah.
Let's get to day two.
Yeah, I'm just meandering
too much. Yeah, we've turned into what's that one podcast that just like meanders and never gets.
You mean every other podcast in the world?
Muse on Minis, Crippled System, Chain Attack. I mean, we could keep going.
No, but like when they do it, it like sounds good and it's entertaining. And I feel like we're just floundering right now. But okay, goddamn it, on to day two. I get like literally no sleep this night. Like I think like 1 hour. It was like bad. Didn't even have time for breakfast. I think I got like some blue Gatorade, and that was my breakfast.
Gross.
Oh yeah. I said I wasn't gonna meander, but this is another meandering thing. So back when I used to fence competitively, like everybody would drink Gatorade at the events, and we like started doing like an informal study from event to event, and we discovered that like once you get to the winner's bracket, everybody was drinking blue Gatorade. Presumably that's because that's the only flavor they had left at the end of the tournament. But we decided that drinking blue Gatorade meant that you were a winner. And
so you had faulty causation.
That's the story of why I only drink. That's why I only drink blue Gatorade. It's the bluest of the Gatorades.
Yeah, I think you might have some correlation causation mix up there.
Yeah, that doesn't feel like that's a,
that's not good science.
Don't interfere with my superstition. But so round one, I get paired with Rianne, who, for any of the listeners who don't know, is a very vocal retribution player out of Florida. And the night before, we've been shit-talking each other, because I was like, you literally can't play Gorshade into me. And he's like, we'll see about that, motherfucker. And then we get paired against each other round one. And so I assumed he was bluffing me, because like I had just straight told him how unplayable the matchup was. So I put down Madrak, because I figured it was better into his Raven list. And then he drops Gorshade anyways. I'm like, okay! And he wins the roll-off scenarios, Recon 2, and there's a house in the middle of the board. And I'm not sure if you guys have heard of this before, but Ghost Walking a Heavy through a house kills you.
What?
If you Ghost Walk a Heavy through a house, it will kill you.
What?
I'm saying I was paranoid of dying to Imperatus.
Oh, I was like, that's not how Ghostly works. If you can't complete the movement, it's not illegal. What?
No. So turn one, he just runs Imperatus right behind the house, puts down a couple of clouds. And I'm like, oh, God. Like, what have I gotten myself into? This is awful. Like, maybe I'm actually going to lose this. Like, this is, like, the number one way I die, is because Imperatus is mat 8 now. He can throw the death debuff spell on me. And then Imperatus, with concentrated power, it's, like, dice damage, sixes to hit, and it's just, ba-bam, you're dead! Ah! He makes those noises, if you haven't played with Imperatus on the board before. And so I just jam really hard with my Raiders, because I'm just like, I'm like in full on like panic mode. Like I am a small rodent right now, and he is a cat, or I don't know, anything that isn't a small rodent, basically. And his he's got Invictors. Because I jammed so hard, I wasn't really thinking, and I let him Imperatus Flame Burst three of my champs off of a Raider, because I didn't position it like thinking, because I was just like, oh, can't let him get on me. And then he CRAs down my Raider Invictors to like three men, and then he like layers his Sentinels, which I think was a mistake, because since I have Tactician, layering doesn't work super well unless you stay entirely out of my threat. But so then the big play of the turn comes up, bottom of two. I decide I'm going to trample my Glacier King and set up on a flank, and then punch to death the four Sentinels in there, and like jackhammer if I need to. And ambush in Bears from the side to get more of that unit of Sentinels, and like feet, and just like hold a flag and just try and like ratchet the game up from there. And so I go ahead and do that, because he didn't really respect the bear threat, or I think he didn't really expect it to be impactful. But so they kill. Well, I mean, like, for what he put there, because he put three or four Sentinels like get on, and I just killed them. And I killed four more, so he had like five guys left. And then the other side, I clear off the flag. I jam around the house so that there's no good like ghost walk target. And I'm just like, please, please don't kill me. Please don't kill me. And he decides he has to go after the Glacier King. And he's got like three Vengeance moves onto it. Five normal walk punch Sentinel punches. And then like a fully loaded Imperatus with concentrated power. And he's got two of the three damage sniper dudes as well, which I think is actually a really slick part of that package. And I just love how the Dawnguard theme plays right now. If I actually had a significant amount of them, I would seriously consider playing them.
Heresy.
But so he puts everything he can. He even ends up putting Gore Shade into him, and he leaves the Glacier King on like 10 boxes and just concedes, because the Glacier King's in melee with Gore Shade, that it's over. But like even if he had feeded and tried to go for like a play where he rips off a bunch of stuff, like Volka's doing a bunch of takedown. The Glacier King has snacking, I believe. One moment.
Is it a large based or larger troll? If yes, has snacking.
Yeah. Yeah, so it has snacking. I was thinking of some other rule that it doesn't have that heavies have. But yeah, like he's either going to die to the Glacier King that's in melee with him, so I don't even need to go anywhere, or I'll just kill everything. Like, I'll kill Imperatus, I'll kill all the Sentinels, and I'll be like chilling on 20 boxes, and I'll just be like, cool, Gorshade can't solo me. Like, what are you going to do? And that's the story of why you shouldn't ever put Gorshade into trolls.
I feel like I am now going to go out and buy Gorshade 5 and only play
5
trolls.
Gorshade 5.
Ben's got that next level ret tech.
He just goes back to Cricks because he realizes he can't beat trolls.
Well, no, I mean, technically it is number 5 because there was the pre-death Gorshade. And then there's Gorshade 1, Gorshade 2, Gorshade 3. And
well, no. Here's what you have to understand, Ben.
What?
All Warcasters and Warlocks, and I guess characters in general, are indexed at 0. So he's still Gorshade 4. There's just a Gorshade 0.
No, there's Gorshade negative 1.
It would be interesting if they actually did a Gorshade 0, like the
Gorshade.
Cutting room floor.
But this is our best material.
Well, we've already hit peak dominate for 2. I mean, we had Bowsette, we had Fry's guys, and we got uncomfortably acquainted with the history of one of the host's bodily functions. So,
wait, when was this? What? when did this happen?
Oh, your vomiting stories.
Oh, I didn't go into detail about the vomit.
Did I just block that? Because I don't remember any of that.
The illusion.
No, we're talking about the motion stuff.
And being force-fed fish and rice on a boat.
Oh.
Yeah.
That feels like
that really...
more of a revelation about his mother's decision-making matrix.
I've got another one. So, family's pre-motion sick, right? We decided we were going to go on a family trip to Oregon, and we decided the way we were going to do this is we were going to drive along the coast on the windiest roads we could find, and the only breaks we were going to have during the entire trip was to take a look at lighthouses. Literally like 10 different lighthouses. I still haven't forgiven them for that trip. It will scar me for the rest of my days. And they get really mad at me whenever I bring it up, but they deserve it for... making me go to every lighthouse between here and Portland.
You know,
which, by the way, fun. You should do on your drive tomorrow.
No. I was originally actually planning on cutting all this content out, but in the spirit of the Enter the Crucible podcast, it might be a fitting tribute to leave it in.
Quality content. I'll leave it to your editorial discretion.
Quality with a K, yo.
Okay, on to round 2. So round 2, my opponent was Ian Yussi. Didn't get to play him at last Crucible, but I did get to meet him. Cool guy. He had Mom and Axis. I knew he wasn't going to play Mom, and his Axis list only had 1 pep, so I wasn't that scared of dropping Madrak, and I put down Madrak, and he was like, what the hell? I've been listening to, like, I've been following your stuff. I know you really don't want to play Madrak into Axis. I was like, well, you only have 1 pep, so I don't give a crap. And then I went to win the roll off. This was Mirage, by the way. I kind of unpack a standard. I really push for my close flag, putting Lunessa and Volka towards there. And I plan on using my zone side to sweep up with my champs and around such that, because there's basically a forest, I don't know if it's partially in my zone or entirely outside of it, but it's like a natural barrier for his stuff. So I just kind of hide my support behind the forest. I charge my champs kind of like through and around. And my Glacier King kind of lives partially in the forest. But he makes a pretty big error, which in general was like the theme of the weekend, not respecting ambush. He thought he could put his tep at exactly 14 inches from the board edge and put his servitors such that I couldn't land my bears on the tep, which, as far as I know, even if you put all three down in a quote-unquote perfect configuration, I don't think you can ever prevent me from landing both bears on it. But he also doesn't put all of the servitors down towards the edge I'm ambushing in from. And so my bears just charge in, and they kill it on average, I think, like by like four or five boxes or something. So I just wipe his tep off on top of two, and I'm just like, okay, my champs no longer care about anything you do this game. And I'm just kind of like chilling there under feet with my Glacier King like in the middle of the board, which makes it really hard to win. he tries to go for a plan where he inducts around a bunch of stuff and tries to kill the Glacier King, which is like super low odds. I think he had to roll like almost literally max dice on every roll, but he's just like, ah, fuck it, the game's basically over at this point anyways. But he gives me a countercharge with Volca, and I just take out his induction node on the light that he was using to pass around the focus, and he just loses the whole chain, and the entire turn just kind of goes up in smoke. And so I'm just kind of like scoring up this whole point. I think at this point I was like 2-0. I was at 2-0 because all I needed to do was score 3 points, which would be clear a flag, hold the zone, put a solo on the middle flag while getting the other stuff out of the way, presumably with some bulldozes from the Glacier King. But during my maintenance phase, I'm still in the mentality of, oh, Madrek feed is up, I can't be charged. And so I Righteous Vengeance into a countercharge, and Volca dies. And so that plan kind of goes out the window, and so I just play for attrition, I kill a bunch of his stuff. I can't remember whether he kills the Glacier King or not. It was very close whether or not he did. He's only got like two servitors that are contesting Linus's flag at this point, and I'm at like 3-0. No, I'm at 4-0. So I 4-1. So I walk Madrek over to kill the servitors. Linissa walks onto the flag. Swamp Gobber runs into his zone to prevent him from scoring, and we just call it there because I was on shortest clock and I just wanted to move on to the next round. I think it would have been a lot more annoying if he hadn't just given me the tep. I probably would have killed like a light or a heavy instead from how he had positioned, or maybe put them towards his zone and just been more annoying in that arena. But killing the tep because of ambush just kind of like made the entire game just like, I'm walking you down from here kind of mode.
Yeah, that sounds like a really serious collapse right there.
Did he explain why he chose only one tep?
We didn't really get deep into that, but I'm assuming he just wanted more bodies, more punching. Probably better into nine slayers if I was a betting man.
Yeah, probably. But I mean, two teps is such a terrifying combo for almost everything else in the world.
I think he might have also had double tep in Mom.
Oh, okay.
Round three, my opponent's got Legion. It's on Invasion. This was Jesse Carmack. He had Fianna and Animag, and I knew he wasn't going to play Fianna. I knew he was going to play Animag, so Madrek. I won the roll-off. And I'm feeling pretty great. He's running a variant with single Warmongers, double Chosen. And he's got a Shredder. I think this was just like for random zone holding and stuff like that. Rotwings as well. And so he kind of set up in a way. So I unpack as I do. And I mistakenly put Linissa somewhere where I shouldn't have. She was relatively safe, but he manages to scatter on her with the Blightbringer gun and just kill her, which was frustrating. He gives me a Volca countercharge so that he can get further up and threaten his tentacles. A semi-key part of this game was that there was like a forest in the middle of the rectangle zone for Invasion, and he decided he wanted... So both set of tentacles were kind of sitting in the crock of that like banana-shaped one. It's the broken egg, like standard, like large one.
Right.
So he had one like fully in the pocket where basically nobody could ever see it until like I was past the midpoint of the board. But he had another one because he wanted to toe into the circle zone on that side, where I could see a little bit around it. So like Volca and some champs could see it. And so between Volca countercharging up and that, I'm able to kill his Houndmouth. And then he mispositioned some of his Dragon Ogre calf, and my bears ambush in and kill two of them. In between those two things and my feet and yada yada yada, he concedes in the middle of two. Because I think at that point I had killed three or four of the Dragon Ogre calf, one of his Hellmouths, and like he couldn't charge any of my stuff, so I was going to do the same thing. And he couldn't even feed, because if he feeded, then there was no way he was ever killing the Glacier King. And yeah, it was unfortunate. He had originally started off with a plan where he was like, he actually marked out 14 inches from the board edges to like not put his Dragon Ogre calf in there. But then when with some of his more backline ones, he just kind of like forgot slash didn't like check against the marker he put. And yeah, that just kind of screwed things, because like the bears were in back, so he couldn't hold back and try and wait out my feet, because then those bears kill more Dragon Ogre calf. And if he tries to go and deal with them, that he's ceding more board space and I'm winning on scenario. So he was just in a lose situation, and it was unfortunate. But yeah, ambush is something you really have to pay attention to when you're playing against trolls, or I guess specifically Storm of the North, because even the what's it called, the lookouts, they'll like screw up your support real bad if you aren't paying attention. And so that was the semifinals. For the finals, I get put into Max. I'm blanking on the last name right now. Max Lamon. He's got Harby, and he's got this really interesting brew, which is Durst Double Judicator. And I was expecting Durst Double Judicator. But I figured Colgrim was the better game into either one. And he ends up putting down Harbinger, Faithful Masses. And this was on Spread the Net. He elects to go first after winning the roll off. And he presses really hard with his Edrians. Oh, that was the really interesting thing about his list. He wasn't taking Hammer Dwarves as his Mercs unit option. He was taking Press Gangers, which I thought was really brewy. Somewhere in bottom of one, so a bunch of his buddies who came with him told me to not tell him that he qualified for War Machine Weekend already, because they want to screw with him slash like make him stress out for the entirety of the game, I guess. But then I screwed up and I accidentally like moved a model too far, because I was like I said, I was just like super out of it, and the judge was like, "Oh, you moved that model too far." I was like, "Oh, I'm sorry. There's like I didn't mean to. Like, there's no stakes to this game." Because like there weren't, because like he gets his War Machine Weekend invitation no matter what, and holy shit, he was so loud, he was like, yes, it was a thing to watch. But yeah, he was really pleased, and after the game he said that like as soon as he heard he had qualified for War Machine Weekend, he kind of like stopped thinking about the game correctly. Which I don't know if it was true, but he was putting a lot of pressure on me. So I'm kind of scared to see him again if that's the case. But I screwed up and I didn't feet on bottom of one, which would have prevented all of his Adrians from shooting and had them stuck in a bunch of rubble. And instead, they just killed a bunch of raiders that didn't need to die otherwise. But with my ambushers on Spread the Net, I'm able to stop him from scoring both of his home objectives while scoring both of my home objectives. And I think he conceded on like bottom of three or four when I was like 4-0 on scenario. And he was like running out of gas. Like all of his Idrians were dead. He didn't really have an easy way to score either his zone or his flag, because I think I had killed all of his jacks except for his Devout at this point. And yeah. But he was putting a lot of pressure on me. I was super down on clock. I think I only had like three champs left or something, and like one set of bears and my lookouts, and maybe a couple of other things. But I like we were going punch for punch pretty hard. I just like happened to have like a really good scenario advantage because going second with ambush on spread the net is really good. And I think if he had allocated more stuff or held back his Idrians a little bit more to try and kill the pig lookouts when they came in, he could have maintained some level of scenario parity and tried to pull out a longer like turn seven victory. But I end up winning the game and therefore winning the Crucible off of that.
Hooray!
Ta-da!
Hooray, yeah.
Well, congratulations on the second con win in, what, a month?
Yeah, plus or minus a bit. It's either 4 or 5 weeks. It was gratifying to have the I had one of the funniest fan interactions at the Crucible. I don't remember if I told you guys already or not. I'm not going to say their name just like in case they're embarrassed by this story, but it was so goddamn funny I couldn't help but share. But like we were hanging out after everything was done and they're like, "Oh, it's so cool to finally meet you in person. You sound like such a bitch on the podcast." And I was like, I just like couldn't stop laughing because I'm not the kind of person who like gets offended by that. Like that was hilarious to me. But like I could not imagine going up to somebody that you don't know and calling them a bitch. And I think he might have said it in slightly different ways, but like, oh, it was just so goddamn funny. I could not stop laughing for like a full minute. And I have a personal theory about this I want to share since we're on here. I think I have a weird sounding voice in general, but I think I also make a lot of pauses when I talk, and people often interpret that as me thinking there's weight to my words or like that like people should be listening to me, when in reality I'm just really struggling to like think and say and like how to phrase it correctly, and I'm just like I don't want to say this wrong. But that's my theory on why I sound like such a bitch.
That's excellent. Yeah, Ben and I have both gotten like, "Are you on a podcast? I recognize your voice from somewhere," but never someone like stone cold walking up to us and like, "You sound like a bitch."
Yeah, they're like, "It's so cool meeting you in person. You sound like such a bitch on the podcast." I'm like, what?
Yes, it would be awesome if I had an experience like that. But now it won't mean anything because somebody will listen to this and be like, "Oh, I'm gonna call him a bitch," and I'm like, "Whatever."
Yeah, I think for the rest of my War Machine, people are gonna come up to me like, "You sound like such a bitch on your podcast." So I guess I don't know why I told this story because now it's just encouraging more people to call me a bitch.
God damn it!
Which then that begs the question: if I don't like get mad at them for calling me a bitch to my face, does that make me more of a bitch?
Maybe.
I don't understand how this works. Like, there's some bitch math I need to figure out because I have no clue.
Well, I'm sure you'll find out for certain at War Machine Weekend.
Yes. But so just to wrap this up, I get an airport hotel and I have to get up at like 3 in the morning to make sure I catch my Fox shuttle so that I can fly back home. And so I literally don't sleep the entire night. I just like, yeah.
And I guess so, it's like, fortunate I have no you're sleep unemployed.
The entire weekend. Yeah. I basically get no sleep the entire weekend. I come home and I just die.
You didn't clearly die. Dies.
Podcast from the grave.
Yeah. Okay. This is our memoriam episode to the once great troll player in our midst.
I'm the rare Pepe of troll players.
I don't get it. I'm not going to go to 4chan to figure it out either.
All right. Well, does that wrap this episode?
Weren't you going to talk about somebody? Did you want to talk about the North Bay people?
I was about to do that.
The people that you claim exist that I don't entirely believe do.
There's a tribe north of the hills.
They might just be a fever dream. So I recently got connected with a group of players in the roughly North Bay area. The folks out in Santa Rosa, Zeph, Gira, Tony, all you guys, fantastic group of players. And it's a really small community organized by a really devoted group of players who are absent store support, keeping the game going in, you know, Zeph's garage, and really, really just have an awesome community. So if you're listening to this from anywhere like Petaluma, Sacramento, etc., you know, look these guys up and, you know, yeah, join the communities, because fantastic group of guys, and fingers crossed we'll be seeing them again soon. But yeah, if you're anywhere near the North Bay, be on the lookout for that community.
Yeah, and then next week we'll be having an I-5 recap, the team tournament up in Portland. Alex and I are on Team Clock Gobblers.
Yeah.
We also have some local teams in the Crixian Super Friends and Salt Miners 2 Electric Boogaloo.
I thought it was even saltier.
Oh, it might be that. I'm just filling in because anytime something has a 2, I always assume it's followed up by Electric Boogaloo. Yeah.
Man. I enjoy the Team Clock Gobblers, but I really wish we had gone with Team Trying to Get Brett Fired.
Good.
And the Bowsette print sweaters for team uniforms.
Oh, so somebody sent me a link to one of those. I was like, I want to own this, but like I can't wear it outside the house.
Right.
But
yeah,
another side story before we cut this episode. Back before Trump even got nominated, I got a knockoff MAGA hat as a joke.
Sure.
Yes, because it doesn't even look like a MAGA hat. Like, it's clearly a Chinese knockoff. And I thought people would, like, realize that it was an ironic joke. And I wore it into a Trader Joe's once, and I threw it away. Because I have never felt so uncomfortable in my life. And I assume that's what wearing a Bowsette hoodie would feel like.
I don't think that's true. I think a Bowsette hoodie would empower you, whereas the MAGA hat just made you look like a racist.
Yeah, but to be fair, when I was wearing it, Trump was still a joke. Then we're probably gonna get hate mail over this.
So my question is which hoodie? Yeah, because some of these are pretty sweet.
I can't remember. We'll just post a bunch of hoodie options here for our listeners.
I really feel like we should take this on as our new Dominate for 2 logo and just redo the web front.
Yeah, I'm going to hard pass, dog.
Would it be copyright infringement if we just rebranded with Bowsette everywhere?
Well, technically,
I would prefer if we didn't.
So Bowsette is not technically owned by Nintendo, as it is not a recognized character of theirs.
Cha-ching, branding solved.
Yeet.
Well, I mean, if you're going to be printing out a full-size Bowsette for your
Supreme Guardian.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like something we should be engaging with.
Just take it on all the way.
Oh, my God. We're going to hell.
This is how we get Mark to quit the podcast.
You know, I think that based on all current religion, I'm already going to hell. So... I'm not sure how any of this nudges me any closer. Because I'm pretty sure it's all binary. And, like, there's nothing but zeros. There's no ones
right now. All right. We'll call it there.
Yeah, you'll end with that rather than the
shout-out.
Goodbye! Bye-bye!
Bye-bye!
But there's so many more links I can find.
Thank you for listening to Dominate for 2. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. Got a question or an episode idea? Email us at dominateforto.podcast@gmail.com.